According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, a little more than half of Americans have gotten at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. 42% are fully vaccinated. People have reasons for not getting the shots. Among them is that they're worried about getting a surprise bill, even though the vaccine's free and available to all U.S. adults. A poll from the Kaiser Family Foundation showed that a third of unvaccinated adults didn't know whether insurance picked up the tab and were afraid they'd have to pay for it. A Kaiser researcher told the New York Times that that sentiment might reflect their experience with the wider health system, that, quote, people may have heard it's available for free, but not believe it. Our next guest says you can't blame him for being skeptical. He says Americans' healthcare system is in a lot of ways broken, and not just because of costs. We want to hear about your experiences, good, bad, otherwise, at 800-642-1234. Do you worry about surprise bills or unexpected costs when going to the doctor or having something done? Have you avoided healthcare at some point because you were worried about what you could end up being billed for? Are you happy with the quality of care you received? Do you have questions for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dr. Marty McCary is professor at the Johns Hopkins Schools of Medicine, Public Health, and Business. He's the chief medical advisor to Sesame Care and author of The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. The paperback version hit the shelves this week. It includes a new section on COVID-19. Dr. McCary, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be with you, Bill.
This is Rob. The survey I just mentioned, I imagine this doesn't come as a surprise to you, given what you've studied and written about in the healthcare system, that people might worry about getting the vaccine for fear that they're going to get a surprise bill down the road. What does that tell us?
Well, it's consistent with the data that we've seen in a survey that shows that 64% of Americans have avoided medical care or delayed it for fear of the bill. So it's affecting access. This new business model in healthcare of price gouging and predatory billing, going as far as suing patients in court to garnish their wages, even though they're insured and work and have came with good intentions, that represents the worst of modern medicine. And so we've got a national dashboard that we'll be putting up on Monday with Axios that will show how hospitals do on their billing quality, because medical billing quality is a form of medical quality and financial toxicity is a medical complication.
I want to dig into a few of the stories you tell in the book. I was just reading up on one. You were visiting Carlsbad, New Mexico. You'd heard of a health agency there that was suing people, notorious for suing it, and you didn't even get to the people you wanted to talk to before you'd started hearing stories. Just almost everyone you ran into, it seems like, had a story about surprise billing, lawsuits, the courthouse saying, 95% or some of their cases from this one health agency. Tell us about that lawsuit side of the story, please.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's everyone's favorite chapter in the book, Chapter 3. So I just heard from a patient out there, because a lot of people who feel disenfranchised nationally have reached out to me. And I've heard of this case, and I thought, gosh, the hospital is suing her to garnish her wages. And these are Walmart workers and food service workers. You know, and it hit me. Most of America doesn't live like me. Most of America lives paycheck to paycheck. And for them, a $2,000 bill can be catastrophic. So I went to Carlsbad, New Mexico to visit and found that the person driving me from the airport had been sued by the hospital. The folks at the check-in at the hotel had been sued. This person I met with had been sued. I go to the courthouse. Some of the court clerks and this staff had been sued. I talked to the judge. The judge had been sued by the hospital for these crazy money games. And, you know, it's this old game of pointing the finger. Oh, it's in collection, so you have to talk to them, talk to your insurance company. And people are getting stuck in this Bermuda Triangle of money games. And it's not fair. It's not fair. And honestly, Rob, it's threatening the great public trust in American hospitals. I'm very proud of my profession as a doctor. But these kind of games are a disgrace to the great work that we do.
And you say in some cases it's easy to persuade hospital administrators. I think there was one here in Wisconsin, an Aurora system, where you brought these lawsuits to their attention and they stopped. Once you raise the issue, does it make a difference?
I was very impressed by the new CEO of the Aurora system. And basically in a conversation, I found him to be very reasonable. almost unaware that it was happening. You know, sometimes it gets outsourced through so many sub-departments. Hospital leaders, who are generally good people, they just don't realize how extensive this is and how ugly it looks on the ground. When I would go to court with people who had been sued by hospitals, and I still stand by my promise to defend anybody who has been sued by a hospital for a bill they could not afford, I will defend them as a pro bono expert. I'm not a lawyer, but I can argue. And we go to court and we defend these people and we win. My team and I win 100% of the time. And we've shut down the practice in most of the country. But we start off by simply asking the hospital to remember why we went into medicine and just beg them to stop this predatory practice.
Talking to Dr. Marty McCary, author of the book, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. He's a professor at Johns Hopkins. Dr. McCary, the cost, the surprise bills, that's part of the story you're telling. You're also worried about unnecessary treatment, over-medicalization of things that might be able to be treated without the kind of treatments we're using. What kind of things do you see?
We have the most medicalized, the most hospitalized, the most disabled, the most obese population in the history of the world. And we can talk about ways to cut the financial waste in healthcare, but ultimately we really have to get at what I call the appropriateness of care. And by the way, there's a massive movement right now by doctors and nurses and PAs and NPs to say, hey, let's start treating the whole person. And we can't do that in 10-minute visits when we've got a bill and code and you're burning us out. Physician burnout rates at all-time highs. This model is broken. So you see a lot of folks now scrapping it and starting to ask the really big questions on how to redesign care. And that is the most exciting thing happening right now in healthcare.
Can you talk about some of the efforts you've seen to redesign care, to make it look and feel and ultimately work different from what we might expect on that trip to the clinic?
Treating more patients with diabetes with cooking classes than just throwing insulin at them. We need to treat more back pain with ice and physical therapy than just surgery and opioids. We need to talk about school lunch programs instead of just talking about bariatric gastric bypass surgery in kids. We've got to talk about food as medicine. When we see somebody who has high blood pressure, we've got to start talking about their sleep patterns and how poor sleep can contribute to that high muscle tone in the blood vessels that causes high blood pressure. We should talk about sleep science and also stress management instead of just throwing antihypertensive meds at people. We can get at these underlying issues if you let us, if the system gets redesigned so we get off the treadmill of this billing throughput cycle. You know, the old model of healthcare is entirely broken, right? The system where you come into your doctor once a year and we say, eat better, exercise more, here's some pills. And then you come back in a year and we say, you bad, bad, non-compliant patient. That is a horrible system. Patients hate it. Doctors hate it. Why are we doing it? We've got to redesign it entirely because the hard part about chronic disease is not telling people what to do. It's helping them do it. And we can do that.
Yeah, how do you do that? Because I could see, I'm not a doctor, but if I was, I could see, you know, if I put these pills in this patient's hand, I think they can probably take one pill a day. If I'm asking them to make these fundamental lifestyle changes, I can't track that. I don't know if that prescription is going to be honored. How do we change our system to have that kind of follow-up?
So right now, doctors are sick of the traditional primary care system. And so what we're seeing them move to is a new model of care. And it goes by many different names, Iora, ChenMed, Landmark, Oak Street. They have these networks of dozens or hundreds of clinics where they're doing relationship-based care. And they don't just want to see you once a year or every few months. They want to love you. They want to create a community where you come in, you know folks, and you have a coach or you have a navigator there. It's not just the doc. You know, one doctor can't take care of a whole population. But if you partner that doctor with a nurse practitioner or a kinesiology major from college who's motivated to help navigate care for someone, we can give a team instructions and execute that plan, but it needs to be, we need to talk about a team approach. So we're seeing healthcare disrupted right now by these many clinics. Anyone over 65, pretty much in regions of the country now, can sign up for ChenMed or Iora or Oak Street or Landmark. for free. And you get this incredible relationship-based care as a part of a Medicare Advantage plan. And also in other areas, it goes by direct primary care. For those with wealth, there's a version called concierge medicine now. And we're seeing care redesigned, and that's a good thing.
We're talking about how to improve healthcare in the U.S. Dr. Marty McCary stays with us, professor at Johns Hopkins, author of the book, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. That book came out in paperback with a COVID-related update yesterday. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or join the conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to your calls now. Jim is with us in River Falls. Jim, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And thank you so much, Dr. McCary, for all you've done to help patients throughout the United States. And I think I just read your book. I finished it a couple of weeks ago and really impressed with what you're doing. A couple questions for you. First of all, I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on a single payer system, because I know in Britain and Canada, most people really like the healthcare system and they don't get stressed and have mental health issues after leaving the hospital because they're worried about going in debtor's prison to pay their bills. And then I really liked your story about the friend you had who was going to an out of network hospital in Baltimore there, and you told her to have them print out the admission papers and struck out all the language as far as you are required to pay for any of the services, regardless of how overcharged they make the payments.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. So first of all, briefly, Dr. McCary, a single payer, and then feel free to elaborate on that story Jim raised.
Sure. Well, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it. I don't rely on the government to fix healthcare. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. Each system has their pluses and minuses. And I think when you look at some of these systems, like a single payer system, which does have the attractiveness of kind of waste in the short term of a lot of the middlemen, it's one of the big pluses. Long term, generally speaking, countries universally underfund their healthcare systems. Go 10 or 20 years into that system, and there's across-the-board cuts that create almost a dilapidated system. Matter of fact, Medicare may very well be that right now. The Medicare reimbursement rates are low, and they're going down each year. On going to the hospital, look, if you have to go to the emergency room, this was a fun story in the book, and they tell you, hey, you got to sign this financial form. Don't sign it, okay? Unless they give you prices and tell you exactly what you're going to be responsible for, you don't sign that. And if they tell you have to sign it, go ahead and sign it. Did not read on the signature line, because it's unfair for them to throw you this document that says you will commit to signing your car, life, home, and mortgage completely over to the hospital under penalty of law for some bill that you have not seen and they don't have the courtesy to give you an estimate of. So that is a tip that I've given people. And when we go to court, we tell the judges, look, this patient's happy to pay the bills. Just show us the agreement where they said they would pay it. There's under contract law, there's no agreement.
Thanks a lot for that call. Jim, we'll go to Kate now in Madison. Kate, hi.
Hi there. My name's Kate. I'm an occupational therapy student at UW-Madison right now. And when you talked about, bringing maybe a kinesiology student in to help out with this team, my thought was occupational therapy, that's what we do. We help with lifestyle change. So you could have a patient or a client come in, and their PCP or their doctor says, you can do X, Y, and Z to help with this. You could have OTs follow up on these lifestyle changes as part of the team.
Thanks a lot for that call, Kate.
I mean, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is the team-based approach, Rob, that we need right now. And this is what we can build. This idea of, hey, we're going to send you to this person and go across the street and drive, 10 miles and go get an appointment with this specialist. These new modern clinics have it all in-house. And it's coordinated. And it's not with just a physician. It's with every aspect of the medical team. And the results are pretty darn impressive. So I appreciate Kate's call.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Dr. Marty McCary, author of the book, The Price We Pay on the American Healthcare System. Well, we've got you here, Dr. McCary. Last time we talked to you about COVID-19. There was some good news by the time we talked to you, even more good news right now, it seems like, especially compared to where we were as a nation, say, in January. Can you talk about what you're seeing in the latest trends?
Well, first of all, I think we always have to be humble to recognize that things could change in a way that were unexpected. But we're doing really good right now. We have, compared to the number of daily flu cases in the middle of the mildest flu season of the last 8 years, we have about 1/50th the number of COVID cases as flu in the mildest flu season, in the middle of that mild flu season. That is, we've had about 14,000 cases a day, most asymptomatic, picked up on screening. And in a mild flu season, we'll have 400,000 to 450,000 cases a day. About 80 to 85% of the adults in the United States are immune. And instead of talking about the vaccinated and unvaccinated, we should really talk about the immune and non-immune, as I described in yesterday's Wall Street Journal in a piece titled The Power of Natural Immunity, and that's from prior infection. New research now from Cleveland Clinic, Washington University, and other places are showing natural immunity is pretty darn good, and as good and maybe even more long-lasting and durable than vaccinated immunity. We'll see. But if you have natural immunity, I think you can bank on it based on the best available data.
Now, one of the Cleveland Clinic authors of that study was quoted in a TV story saying, "We're not saying don't get the vaccine, even to people who already have that natural immunity." And I know we're going to be measuring how long immunity lasts from vaccines and natural and so on. I don't know. What do you make of the recommendations that even if you've had COVID, should you still get the vaccine?
Look, the reason he said that is because he's got a gun to his head by the medical establishment that's just saying, look, you can veer off the path, but don't go too far off. The data that they published showed that among those with natural immunity who got a vaccine, the vaccine provided no added benefit. So, look, I also tell people when they say, hey, I had COVID, should I get the vaccine? I'll often say, sure, but I would get just one dose. Or if you choose not to, you're probably completely fine based on the best available data. There's more data on natural immunity than vaccinated immunity because natural immunity has been around longer, and I think we can trust it.
The big message, though, I guess, is if you don't have natural immunity and you haven't gotten vaccinated, is that where a lot of our attention should be right now?
Yeah, it's those who are still non-immune, those who are susceptible. And there's a bunch of those folks. Now, some of them had the infection and were asymptomatic, so they're immune without realizing it. But that's where we really need to promote our efforts. And look, we can run commercials by politicians, and I know they're going to be doing that in Wisconsin. But what we really need to do is stop with the celebrity begging and instead just make vaccines more accessible at routine points of care in American life. You come out of the grocery store and somebody says, hey, do you have 5 minutes to get vaccinated for COVID-19? That's how we're going to increase our vaccination rates. And by the way, we don't have to get 100%. We're doing pretty good because 64% of adults have been vaccinated. And of the other 36% who haven't, half have natural immunity from prior infection based on the studies I described in yesterday's Wall Street Journal.
Just a minute and a half or so left, Dr. McCary. You wrote the bulk of this book before COVID-19. You've updated a little bit now. Is there a lesson we should be taking from COVID-19 to inform how we want to fix our healthcare system?
Well, look, if we learn the lessons and apply them properly, we could see major advances in science like we've never seen in the last 50 years. And that's because we saw the mRNA technology, which, by the way, has been around since the 1990s. But we saw some real attention focused on how to do this properly and well, in a way that we could do it for everyone in the world and apply the vaccine broadly, so set high safety standards. Why don't we do that for HIV? We should have an HIV vaccine next year. And some types of cancer. Vaccines have been shown to work for cancer with melanoma. And how about we start tackling Alzheimer's by looking at the underlying causes, not just the drugs to treat it after it develops? If we apply the same scientific rigor and speed and agility of our $3 trillion healthcare system to fixing problems quickly like this, we can see major advancements in the next few years. And that's exactly what we need to be doing.
Dr. McCary, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Rob. Thanks for having me.
It's Dr. Marty McCary, professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, Public Health and Business. He's also the author of the book, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. That came out in paperback this week. It includes a new section on COVID. You can continue the conversation, by the way, over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. A number of you have weighed in with your healthcare experiences. We heard from Brandy, who wrote, "When I lived in Northeast Wisconsin, never had to wait long for an appointment. Living in Southeast Wisconsin, I've had to wait a month or more to meet a specialist. Other than that, my healthcare experience has been very good. On the other hand, the cost of healthcare is ridiculous." Joel says, "In general, my healthcare has been excellent. The only thing I would change would be more face-to-face involvement with the physician, less with the nurse practitioner and or physician's assistant." And Dahl says, "The actual care is fine, but the lack of transparency in billing and the greed of the insurance companies is a major problem." Dahl says, "Even if you have money, it's impossible to predict how much a procedure will cost until you get the bill. Even if you get an estimate, it can be wildly inaccurate. We need," Dahl says, "Medicare for all." Well, what do you think? Do you have an experience to share or an idea to share when it comes to American healthcare? An experience maybe as a patient or a provider yourself? Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know what you think and what you've seen there. Coming up after the news, we'll talk about controversy around a proposed Kohler Company golf course near Kohler-André State Park after ancient Native American remains were uncovered on that site. We'll check out new reporting on that issue from Wisconsin Watch and the wider issues it raises.